Thanks for listening to Wondering Jews. We're taking next week off as we prepare for our High Holiday edition. It's the only podcast where we'll sin, repent, and sin again. So until then, enjoy the show. You're listening to Wondering Jews with Josh and Roy. I'm Josh.
And I'm Roy. On this show, we smoke some weed, dive into what it means to be a Jew in these days. We do some learning and have some fun, and Josh is going to tell us what we're doing this episode.
We're going to get ripped from the headlines and discuss the topic of the moment, vaping. And we're also going to do our 613 of the week, and then we're going to have a new segment, our spiritual moment.
For this week, our companion from the floral kingdom is White Sumo number 5, not to be confused with Mambo number 5. White Sumo is a cross between Sumo Tangi and White OG strains. It's a sativa dominant hybrid, and it is described as citrusy, lemon or limey, which is still citrusy, and kind of earthy. And we're going to give it a try. It's supposed to have sort of a creative and euphoric, uplifting experience. So we'll let you know how that goes. If you want to join us on this particular trip, find White Sumo at a shop near you. We will be back after the spark.
You know how I kind of go down rabbit holes on the internet?
Your rabbit hole burrowing skills are solid.
Anyway, so I was on the Anti-Defamation League's website.
Light reading.
I don't even know how I got there, but I got there, and I'd been there before, and it knew me.
Welcome back, Joshua.
Anyways, they have this list of all the anti-Semitic symbols on it, and it's like a database, and you can go to it and like see everything that's anti-Semitic. So I was on the first page, so it's alphabetical, so it starts with the numbers, right? And I got down maybe 25 listings, and like number 25 or so is the number 18. A kind of is crazy to me that it goes 1 to 1 billion and there are already so many before 18.
Right.
Aren't that many numbers before 18.
Right.
And it got me thinking, like, how can 18 be an anti-Semitic number? I only know the number 18 as a celebratory number, you know, as high.
Absolutely.
And everything is 18. All my bar mitzvah checks were in multiples of 18.
Exactly right. I only know how to count by 18s. I don't even know how to count any other way. If I see a multiple of 18, I immediately just do like the math of like how many chai that is.
Whenever I see a number 18 in an email address, I know they're Jewish.
Right.
Jenny Chan, 18. I was like, oh, she's a Jew. The other thing that I thought was so funny about it is that, you know what gematria is, which is sort of like using numbers to assign value to letters and stuff.
Correct. And looking for certain kinds of meanings based on certain numbers.
Right. And so that's all these numbers are. Like the numbers, this is Aryan Nation gematria is what
they're
doing.
Yeah, that's totally what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're stealing our own moves and they're using them poorly. Good times, right?
It's a good time to be alive.
It is a good time to be alive. Well, it's also a good time to ask you a new question. How high are you?
Using my patented 10-point scale, I'm a good, like, 8.7 right now. I'm feeling really good.
I would say that the euphoric description is accurate, and the creative feeling is accurate. That's very impressive.
Let's see how long it lasts. But yeah. Right now, it's an 8.7. I don't think it's going to go up. It could go down to an 8.3, but it's a solid.
I'm going
to
go with using the scale. They have pediatrician's offices of, like, happy baby to sad baby. I think I would be happy baby. How's your baby doing?
Yeah.
Happy. That's a happy baby.
Interesting.
I'm like rolling. I'm playing with my feet. So that's where I am on that scale. Does that help you at all?
Not really, because that scale is so broad. All the babies are happy. Like when you're high, like you're always going to be happy. That's such a broad number. I mean, if you were unhappy, I'd be like, oh man, that sucks.
All right. Well, I'm sorry you don't like my scale. But I'll go with I'm doing well.
I'm glad you're doing well.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's good because we have some really meaty headlines that we need to rip into.
Rip
from
the headlines.
The article that I wanted to find was from the New York Times called What You Need to Know About Vaping-Related Lung Illness. And basically, it says if you've been vaping and you're coughing, you're tired, shortness of breath, those are the warning signs. And, you know, coughing and fatigue, those are pretty common side effects of smoking weed all the time.
Right, right.
So that's a little concerning. And I have to be honest, I have stopped using the vape pens ever since this scandal has broken out.
This is an opportunity for me to do one of my favorite things, which is to get on a high horse. So I'm going to just like get a fucking stepladder, and I'm going to climb way up high on this horse right now. And from up here, I'm going to tell everyone down there that I have never been into vaping, and I never understood it, and I was never a fan of how overly convenient it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's too easy.
Yeah, it is so easy.
It's too easy. And then it also reduces your tolerance so that you don't really enjoy smoking flower anymore.
Yeah.
And flower is my preference. And so from up here on this high horse...
It's different. It is a different high, no matter what you're smoking. It's not as good, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's. I understand the appeal, but I've never been a fan... And also, I've always wondered, and I've always been sort of skeptical of the idea that, like, you're going to take this plant, you're going to concentrate it down using, like, butane or other, like, incredible solvents.
Yeah.
And then you're going to ingest that concentrate, which obviously is rich in these solvents, even if you claim to filter them out. And then, like, you superheat it and then suck it into your lungs. It just seemed always like a bad idea to me.
So I've stopped using the vape pens since I found out this. But beforehand, I was using them because they're just so convenient. And, you know, they don't smell.
It is more discreet.
It's
more convenient.
Yeah.
And that's also, those are also problems.
Well, it also sort of leads to it just sort of being secretive. I hope the world is changing, that mainstream marijuana is just sort of, you know, it's like drinking a beer.
Right.
You shouldn't have to be hiding the beer in the closet every time you want to have a taste
right.
of a beer.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you are, that's the problem, like you said.
Right. Because that's not good.
Well, so I went to the store today and I asked them, I said, is anyone buying these vape pens anymore? And they were very quick to say a lot of people are still buying them and that they've tested everything and they're pretty convinced that it's this vitamin E that's been added to some cartridges.
How would vitamin E be causing lung disease?
Well, apparently it's okay to ingest vitamin E, but it's not okay to
inhale it.
The E's, I guess, I assume they're just little micro E's. apparently they sort of hang on the sacs on your lungs. This is what the bud tender told me, so I don't think it's real.
Yeah, the bud tender may not be the one qualified to speak on these topics.
But neither are we. We're not qualified.
No, we're not. But our whole shtick is that we're not qualified.
Fair enough. All this being said, if the fine manufacturers of Select or whatever that thing is called want to sponsor the show.
Yeah, happy to have them.
Happy to have you.
Business is business. Business is business, Josh. Well, I got a fun headline, too, that I wanted to share. I know. It was on a site called MaryJane.com. And basically, it's based on a new study that has come out in a journal called Police Quarterly. It's called Marijuana Legalization and Crime Clearance Rates, Testing Proponent Assertions in Colorado and Washington State. And basically, the finding of this new report is, and I like to file this in the no shit Sherlock department, that in states that have legalized cannabis, police have solved more crimes. Because they have had to spend less police resources on marijuana-related offenses, which has freed them up to solve bigger and more important crimes like domestic violence and murder and assault and burglary and all kinds of stuff. This is exactly what we have been saying forever and what many of the campaigns, all of the campaigns, have said would happen post-legalization.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think that the like legalization campaigns of old need to be like commended for accurately promising that one, because we've given up on the notion that a campaign promise made ever is going to come true. But here's a campaign promise that was true.
It takes time to gather that data, so it's okay for the research to come out now.
No, it's great. It's great. I'm glad it came out, and I'm glad it came out in a police-focused publication, because that will help to change thinking in other departments, because they will be like, oh, shit, we don't have to, like, lay off our deputies, and we don't have to just respond to weed calls all the time. We can actually like go and catch that dude who's been beating his wife. Good.
And that's what the study was actually really focused on, was this idea of a clearance rate,
yes.
which is the idea that when something bad happens to someone, then you find the guy who did it, like
right.
matching that up. And so once they legalized, the cops had more time to match more things up, so they were solving more crimes.
Just to be 100% clear on this, legalizing marijuana leads to a higher crime-solving rate for bigger crime.
The other thing that was, you know, hit close to home is that the study also saw that when Washington State, which legalized like a year or two before Oregon did, they looked at basically Vancouver and Portland, and that the rape rate in Portland was higher than it was in Vancouver, and they attributed that to the legalization.
Right, because there's a two-year disparity. So the whole report is available online. I will put the link to the report on the show notes of this episode. Hey, Josh, do you want to smoke some more before we hit the next segment?
Oh, that's a good idea. Let's smoke, and then we'll do our 613 of the week.
I frequently say a blessing before I smoke, and it's a blessing that I borrowed from the Havdalah service. For people who aren't familiar with Havdalah services, they are done at the end of the Sabbath, at the end of Shabbat, as a way to like exit that holy time of the Sabbath and return into like the mundane world.
Right, and there's different objects that you use during the ceremony.
Exactly.
You smell something, there's a spice, there's a candle, there's wine.
Right, exactly.
The heat, right, yeah.
Exactly. So the blessing of the herbs that you say in the Havdalah service is Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech HaOlam, Barei Minei Besamim, you know, the blessing of like fragrance and fragrant plants. And cannabis is absolutely a fragrant plant. So I was like, perfect. If it's like a blessing over a fragrant herb, this is a fragrant herb, I'll bless it.
That sounds nice.
So I frequently use that, and I wanted to share that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that White Sumo 5 brings game.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good still.
Yeah, now I'm sort of relaxed, baby. Just relaxed, cooing, a cooing little baby.
Yeah, no, it's been lovely. It's time for our 613 of the week.
Hear me! Oh, hear me! All pay heed! The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15... Ten commandments for all to obey!
Every week we pick a commandment at random, and today we're going to pick...
337.
Let me read it to you. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 39. And if thy brother be waxen poor with thee, and sell himself unto thee, thou shalt not make him serve as a bondservant.
Okay.
Okay, so, and the...
commandment.
The commandment, thank you. is not to have him do menial slave labor. So it's basically saying, it's if your brother is poor or doesn't have means, basically you can't sell him into slavery.
You can't treat him like a slave.
Treat him like a slave.
Right.
So if someone owes you something, you can't make them do shit for you.
You know, I don't know that this is one of those that you can like extrapolate out. It seems so situational. It seems like it was talking to that exact specific thing happening. Your brother being poor and like you taking them on as a slave and making them work for you. It probably happened a fair amount. You know how, like, when you're driving on the highway and you see, like, guardrails around dangerous curves and, like, ravines and stuff?
Yeah.
And you know, like, they only put that guardrail up after somebody went over that point?
Right.
So, like, for every guardrail, there's, like, at least one death. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Just stick with me. Stick with me. I promise this is going somewhere.
Okay, fine.
So, every commandment feels like it was corrective of a specific thing that was actually happening.
Why would you not want your brother as your slave? Like you were talking about the guardrails. Maybe that was the guardrail. Like there were these two brothers. He made his brother his slave, and then the slave killed him or something. And they're like, oh, that's why you can't have it be your brother.
So you think it's a warning to the slave owner?
Yeah, I'm just yeah. Maybe there's an alternate.
Hey, slave owners, just a friendly tip. If you're looking for a slave, don't make it your brother.
Right.
It's just going to end up a mess every time. Do you think it extrapolates out to mean don't treat the poor like slaves?
I kind of feel like I'm always told that, you know, this is a living document. Oh, that's the
Constitution. Eig fault. Eig.
Oh, man.
Josh, man. Sumo for the win. It is a living document in its way. It's constantly being reinterpreted.
Right. That's the thing.
Wrestled with.
Yeah. It may not be a living document, but it is constantly being reinterpreted, right?
Yes.
So I think that's...
And it's supposed to be.
So I feel like this could be more generalized because maybe he's not my actual brother, but maybe I am treating someone poorly.
Right. You can't exploit a person's position for free labor.
Yeah.
This could be applied to unpaid internships.
Right. This, you know, that might be the second level, is that this is really about internships.
I'm going to go and say that internships are still level one. As a matter of fact, you'll never get above level one as an intern. Yeah, so this is another Leviticus gem, but this is one of the do nots as opposed to one of the do's. It's funny that the commandments weren't phrased in the positive, because all the do nots could be reinterpreted as do's instead of do not treat people like slaves, like treat people well. But I think that they had to have all the do nots because people were like, well, what do you mean by well? Well, interesting 613 of the week. Thanks.
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry we didn't scratch the second level there. I really wanted to.
Well, did you want to scratch the second level? Is there a level lower than the first level? I don't think we're moving upwards on the level.
I don't think so either. Well, maybe we have to try next week.
Yeah, well, you know, we just got to keep taking swings at these things. And
yeah, in baseball, you know, you're so into sports in baseball. If you hit, you know, 3 out of 10, you're doing great.
Like growing up, like, that's interesting to remember, like, hearing older people would be like, oh, who is that Joe Schmo? You know?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are, Joe Schmo? Like a nobody, like you're like nobody. Nobody knows who you are. And there's like a certain swagger that came with that that I don't think exists so much anymore.
That means swagger from the person saying Joe Schmo?
Yeah, totally.
Huh.
They were like calling somebody out on thinking like they're hot shit when they're not.
So yeah, I guess that you don't call people out like that anymore.
It's interesting. There's this whole call out culture thing, which is very dangerous. And there's a lot of people who don't like this call out culture. And then there are people who advocate for it. I don't know that kind of calling out gets like happens in that kind of way.
Because everything is documented now, there's more opportunities for Joe Schmoes. Because before, it was like if someone was being really outrageous, you see that one every 10 times. But now, every time is being documented. So there are just a lot more Joe Schmoes in the world.
Quite so.
So we should use the saying more, because there's more Joe Schmoes.
It's like a Joe Schmo-splosion.
So before we get into our spiritual moment, I wanted to know, how high are you?
Well, we keep going back to this white sumo 5 throughout the show.
Yeah.
And it continues to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
It may not necessarily be a strain for rookies, by the way.
I'm sort of in a solid 6.9 right now, but it's not a bad, it's good. It's like it's mellowed out and I'm like riding it, but I'm still on it, you know, but it's like not as intense as it was when we checked in last time.
Right.
So it's time for our spiritual moment.
Spiritual moment. We were talking about sort of taking stock of different spiritual moments in a day or week. I had a pretty big week. My daughter had her bat mitzvah this past weekend.
Mazel tov.
Thank you very much. All family came into town. It was like a whole big thing. We had like a kick-ass party, and she really, really did an amazing job. And so I was just like very, very proud. It was surreal. It really was a surreal moment to sit there, right there in the first row, and watch her do this thing that has been done by members of our family for eons and eons.
Yeah.
You know, and now she's this next generation who's taking that mantle up. I saw it as like an opportunity, and I recognize it as an opportunity where like a sort of a seed is planted, an idea is sort of planted in your head. That you're like now like a certain part of this people. Maybe it comes back like 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, I'm kind of interested in this and I'm kind of interested in that. And it's just kind of how this whole show started.
Yeah.
It's just more an increase in curiosity about this like people and faith. So it was like, it was a very like surreal, powerful moment.
Was it surreal for you? Because the only other time I think a ceremony type thing where you're sort of seeing yourself as your father. I have very clear memories of my bar mitzvah,
right.
You know, and now you are the father in this bar mitzvah story. You know, that's
That's
pretty powerful.
Yeah,
and, it's like the whole cycle has come. You are now taking over this sort of transition point that existed prior in your family lineage.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
It is.
Well, congratulations for going through it with grace and with ease, and you slayed.
Thank you very much. So, it was a pleasure to have
you there. And your daughter did as well. But you, let's talk about you right now.
Yeah. Oh, that feels good. What about you?
Well, I actually had a spiritual moment at the bat mitzvah as well, mainly because it's sort of because I'm so close to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing that it is coming. Maybe I'm not, still a few years away, but still, it's coming, and I see it
right.
coming. Sort of imagining where my parents were at that point in their lives, and the stresses that they were facing, and thinking about how old they were in those times.
Yeah.
And it makes you realize sort of how your parents probably didn't have all their shit together, even though you thought they did. So.
Yeah. No. Totally.
Or at least I hope that's the case, because I don't have my shit together.
Either they didn't, or they did. They managed to keep us in a state of believing that they did. Yeah. So your spiritual moment.
I'll tell you where it wasn't.
Yeah.
The service. I even tried real hard in all the silent stuff. I was like going for it.
It's very hard to like relate spiritually to like a Shacharit service at 9:15 on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
This order of blessings put together in this way by these rabbis over this period of time.
I guess the thing that I have struggled with is that there were periods in my life where my parents, or my mom especially, we would go to services pretty regularly before she was a congregational rabbi, so there was no need for us to go, in my opinion. I had a lot of friends there, and their parents weren't rabbis, and they were going. They're getting something from it, and I'm just not getting anything. Am I not trying hard enough? Or do I not really understand what I'm supposed to be getting? And maybe I am getting it, I'm just sort of not receiving it.
Yeah, I wonder how many people are getting whatever it is, versus going out of a sense of obligation or duty.
Well, I feel like our spiritual moment took a little... it was still spiritual, but it was just a very dark spiritual.
Sorry, you can cut all of this if you want. Terrible. Thanks a lot, White Sumo 5. Conclusion.
Conclusion time.
How do we do this part again?
Might
be where we smoked a little too much. I feel like you're going to have to land this show.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Oh, man. I'm not good at... You're good at sort of the organizing part of it, but I can try. Well, Roy, I thought this was an incredible 7th episode. I think we really have come a long way. And just like 18 is a lucky number for the Jews, 7 is a lucky number for everyone else.
7 is a huge number for Jews.
Is it?
I mean, 7 days of creation.
Oh, yeah. So,
7 days of the week.
So, that's good.
Pretty
central. So, we've been created. So, now we are fully formed.
Yeah. I would say it's a pretty exciting milestone for us.
Yeah. So,
I would say White Sumo is a pretty compelling strain.
I would definitely recommend the strain for simchas as well as podcasts. Thanks for listening. And please continue to follow us on the Twitter and leave reviews on iTunes and all the rest of it. Wondering Jews Podcast at
share with your friends
gmail.com.
Catch you on episode 8.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Sei gesund.